Welcome back to His Time. It is time for our regular Monday guest. Joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning to you, Andy, and to your listeners.
Well, thank you. And how are things going this week?
Well, not so bad. I'm going to get back in the classroom after my little lithotripsy last Wednesday, and where they had, instead of one stone, not that your listeners need to know this, but they pulverized three of them. So it was a bit rougher than I anticipated. So still kind of dealing with, you know, you get a little tired, and when you're 68 going on 69, you kind of get a little more tired than you used to. But thank the Lord for the technology there, and a little bit of a rest over the weekend, and back to the classroom where we're going to be taking a look at the issue of free will and quote-unquote the method of original sin, that is, how is it passed on, and what does it have to say about how people are dealing with things in our world today, especially in technology. So so that's kind of where we're going. Sounds kind of heavy, but we try and make it, I'm not sure, you know, biblically light, but biblically sound and confessionally sound as we get into the last 2 weeks of this term.
Well, very good. I'm glad that you're back on the mend and ready to jump back into things.
Oh, yeah. I got to keep things going here.
Well, what do you have for us today?
Well, I think most of your listeners, although they may be tired of this, but we cannot be ever tired of talking about how Christians living in the left-hand realm, the left-hand kingdom, as some call it, are dealing with all these issues that now the Attorney General of the United States has come out saying that all federal employees have a gay partner or same-sex union or living together and so forth can have the same rights as a man and a woman who are married in one flesh union. So many people are just, I've talked with a few over the weekend at church, and they said, how can this be? Well, it is. It is now a fact. It is now law. And they say, well, is there anything we can do about this? Well, yeah, you certainly can write the Attorney General. You can write the President. You can write your Congressman. There are things you can do. You can start to educate people, you know, on what, back to the basics of what is marriage from a biblical viewpoint and a confessional viewpoint, and start talking about it at that end. And I think we, as I said before, this all needs to begin at a very early, early age. And I'm thinking, even where you're dealing with young people in preschool and kindergarten and in the early grades, K through eighth and high school and so forth, even though some of them come from divorced families, they understand the importance and significance of marriage. And this isn't an issue of trying to put people down who've gone through divorces. This is an issue of speaking the truth of God's word. Because right now, speaking the truth seems to be, I'm not sure where it's at in terms of the left-hand kingdom in politics. But so what I wanted to kind of get into just for a few minutes here is this whole issue of choice. Because people, no matter what your sexual orientation, I really don't care for that word, but people have to make choices in this world today, and they're going to have to choose whether to support this or whether not to support it, and Scripture becomes the norm for this, and the Word becomes a choice. We live in a world where choice is determined by what I believe, think, and confess as a person. I mean, we can make choices as to what color socks, clothes, and things like that, and that's all, we say, meet right and beneficial in terms of normal everyday happening. But when it comes to the Christian witness and living the life of Christ in this world, choice takes a different spin in the Bible. Choice in the Old Testament, for example, in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20, and in Joshua 15, where he talks about, you know, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, will serve the Lord. And then in Deuteronomy 30, now choose life because I'm the Lord of life. And then in John 15:16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. The word choice in biblical and confessional way of looking at things is a covenant term. It is a term where God is the subject. And of course, in the world, and those people who've heard me speak, I kind of like to have this dichotomy of how does the world view these words? how does the Bible and the confessions use these words? It's easy then to see the differences, and then by God's Spirit, as we read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2 text this weekend, the mature Christian, the one that has the Spirit of God in them, for no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 3. So we take a look at the word choice in the world, and it's all up to me. I can decide. It's kind of like let your conscience be your guide. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so, well, if everybody's doing it, it must be a good choice, even though it's against the will of God, even though it's against his word, like in same-sex unions and partners and so forth. So in that context, then choice in the Bible is something that God has brought about to us. And this calls to mind, of course, in terms of our catechesis, the third article of the Apostles' Creed, that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but been called by the Holy Gospel and so the Holy Spirit. He calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth. So bringing us to the Lord through the Gospel, which has to be revealed to us, because faith comes by hearing, as Paul writes in Romans, and hearing comes by the Word of Christ. Then I would encourage our listeners to be very attentive to how this word choice is used as they continue to live their life of Christ in this left-hand political arena with all the things around us these days that seem to be topsy-turvy. And then, of course, receive the sacraments of the Lord's Supper for strengthening of that faith and the remembrance of your baptism to daily drown the old Adam, that a new one comes forth. So, this is all, I'm not trying to sound terribly complicated to all your listeners, but it just calls to mind when we start to see these words, get into the Bible and say, well, what does the Lord say about choice? What does the Lord say about rights? What does the Lord say about freedom? And get into the confessions. And I was encouraged looking at the Lord's Catechism. I find that very, very helpful because we need to really be learning and reading and studying the scriptures, just like John writes, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify to Jesus. So that's kind of what I wanted to share this morning is start examining these words that are used out there in the world in a way that leaves everything up to me so that I can feel footloose and fancy free, as opposed to in the scriptures where choice, freedom, and so forth are clearly part of being in Christ and living the life of Christ.
I think our New Testament reading for today speaks to this very well. John chapter 3, verse 27, John answered, "A person cannot receive one thing unless it is given him from heaven."
Yeah, see, there you go. I mean, this is one of those things where for some people they say, "What? We have lost," and I think sometimes we have to be careful with the gift language issue. I think that can be overused. But that's true. You know, just read from Genesis to Revelation. Unless it comes from God, from the outside, you know, we're nothing. And for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so I really think that that reading that you're looking there in John would hopefully people would say, oh, let me look at that myself. So open up your Bibles, and we want to encourage all people, as we know we have Bibles in Bible study classes on Sunday morning and so forth, or Saturday, go out and purchase a translation and read it and start to study it. Just, for example, take a piece of paper and write up at the top the word choice or the word freedom, and go to the back of a concordance where you have all these different words in the back, and then start looking at these Bible passages and learn how God uses these for the edification and the upbuilding of his church, so that he is the subject and not mankind is the subject.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really a great passage.
Yeah, we'll be studying that here in just a little bit. During the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to study John chapter 3, verses 22 through chapter 4, verse 6 in just a little bit. And it is quite interesting, as I was reading through it earlier and I got to that verse and I thought, wow, that really stands out. So we'll study that with Pastor McMullen from Emmanuel Lutheran in Oklahoma City here in just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I think that all of that stands out, and what you're going to learn from that and what you can share with your listeners, it all points to Christ. I mean, he's the thread. And this is in our world today. And as we have all this snow, I would encourage your listeners, in the Bible, though your sins be as scarlet, he makes them as white as snow. So good little sermon there for a lot of people, and it's right in front of us.
Yeah, this time of year, especially with it being so dark and gloomy all the time, this part of the world anyway, being dark and gloomy, we probably tend to focus on the dark and gloomy things and forget that in the midst of all this gloomy, cold weather, the snow can be a reminder of how God has washed away our sin and made us white as snow.
Well, that's going to be, I'm going to take a cup of that into my class this morning for my opening devotion. So a couple of them have heard it before, but they're going to hear it again. Repetition is the mother of learning. It seems to me, you know, the Lord and St. Paul were very good at repeating things. So, and Christ, well, of course, the author of the scriptures, the Lord, right on through the Bible. He continues to tell us all about Jesus and what he continues to do for us.
Absolutely. Most certainly. Well, anything else that on the horizon that we should be watching for and prepared to talk about in the coming weeks?
Well, actually, I haven't thought much about that. I've been trying to get, you know, recovered a little bit, but it might do us well sometime. And this may be something you might want to think about and give me a call later. And I talked about this down in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. How do we Christians deal with the concerns we have about health care, but do it as a Christian, not to grind our axe, not to, oh, I can't believe this is happening, because some may find some benefit in it and some may not find some benefit. So I keep getting this question, well, how should a Christian view this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of back out in that left-hand kingdom again issue. Maybe we need to be spending some time on what are the two kingdoms that Luther talks about, but basically how can we deal with issues in the world we live in as a Christian, because we're just surrounded by so many different things, and some people get terribly confused. And it may very well be we could take a look at Romans 13 and God's purpose and use of the government for his purpose and his benefit. So maybe something like that down the road we might be chatting a bit about.
Most certainly. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss, for taking time to talk with us this morning. It's always good to chat with you.
My pleasure, and God's peace to you and your listeners.
God's peace.
Bye-bye.
God's peace to you as well. Coming up in the next hour, we'll study God's Word with Pastor Clinton McMullen from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Stick around. More of God's Word right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.